Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning and welcome to the show. It's Tuesday, December 17th. And we're moving right along towards the holidays.
Yay!
What is it, like about 8 days left or something?
I don't even know.
Yeah.
I can't even think straight. I'm so jittery today.
You're so
freaking
violent.
This is why I do not take stuff,
you
like medication.
Yeah.
If I'm not feeling well, oh my gosh. I mean, thankfully though, I am feeling much better.
Yeah.
Because so my tell throat us what was happened. Really, really hurting.
Why are you bouncing off the walls this morning?
Because I took a Mucinex that that Nikki gave me,
and what she's is like, "This will help you." Like a cold medicine or something?
Yeah. It's just to help with, you know, just kind of like loosen everything up, I guess, when you have like a cold or something. I just kind of told her my symptoms. I'm like, man, I'm really getting nervous because I have to get on a plane, you know, on Friday because I have to fly home.
Mm.
So I'm like, that, you know, I don't want to be sick and then be on a plane and then get even more sick, because that's
exactly
just the worst position to be in ever.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I have to get better. I don't know what to do. I've been drinking tea. I've been gargling salt water. I've been doing all the right things. You know, she's like, well, sometimes you just need a little extra kick. I'm like, all right, what do you got? I'm desperate. I'll do anything. She's like, all right, take this Mucinex. And I went to bed just fine, no problem. But this morning I woke up and I was like,
wow.
I'm like, wired, like out of my mind. It's crazy.
Really? Is it pills or like in liquid form?
No, it's a pill. And first of all, it was so big I couldn't swallow it. I never have an issue swallowing pills.
Right.
And like, I don't know what the problem was, but it got so like, you know, it tastes so bad and it got so soggy and like saturated that, you know, I was able to cut it like with a knife, you know, so I had to cut it in half.
Uh-huh.
And then take both sides. And it was just, oh my gosh, I should have just known from the beginning this is a nightmare. But it does work. I do feel better. I can speak now.
Yeah.
My throat was hurting so bad.
Really? So it's good. So it worked, huh?
It did.
But they have that, antihistamine or something in there that I think makes you like all wired and everything. I don't know what it is.
Maybe it's because I never do it. So my body is probably like, what is this foreign object that is like, you know, making you go crazy? I don't know.
Yeah. So you're talking 100 miles an hour this morning and you're bouncing off the walls.
I am.
That's good.
I am, literally.
That's good. So you're full of energy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Probably going to crash and burn later today.
God, I hope not. I hope this lasts for Universal's Grinchmas. I might do that with some friends today.
Oh,
you know,
really?
Universal Studios, how they turned it into the Grinchmas. So they've got like
the Grinch
and this dog Max, and they deck it out like all, you know, holiday style. So
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's why I'm wearing my super cute new T-shirt. It's a minion with a Santa hat.
What does it say? Oh, a minion.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you love the
minions,
right?
You know
minions,
me and
right?
my minions.
Yeah,
yes.
I do.
I found this when I was at home. I was Christmas shopping with my mom, you know, for Thanksgiving. And I'm like, Minion! Not only is a Minion, but it's Christmas Minion! I'm like, I have to get that.
You have to get it.
I love it.
Okay, I gotcha.
It's Kevin, though, because this one has two eyes, not one. Stuart. Stuart's the one that I have. That's one eye.
Oh, okay. How many are there? Minions.
Like, trillions.
I know.
But there's like two or three like main
ones.
Minions.
Okay, and they have names.
They do.
Okay, I don't remember that. I saw the first one, and I don't remember them having names. But then again, I don't remember much from that movie anyway. So, but it was funny. It was a cool movie.
Yeah.
I think. Did you see the second one
too? Oh, of course.
Of course. How can you not?
Right?
Are they making any Hello Kitty movies?
No, I mean, I have like a little DVD. It's like Hello Kitty becomes a princess, but you know. Yeah.
Yeah, but nothing like live action or anything, huh?
No.
You could star in it, you know, it'd be cool.
That would be cool. I have to be Hello Kitty for Halloween, so that was about as close as I got to being a real Hello Kitty.
That's true, yeah. So before we get to our guest here who's sitting patiently, I wanted to bring up the fact that I guess they're reporting this, let's see, where did it happen? In Duluth, Georgia, okay? The student was suspended for sexual harassment after hugging his teacher. So this is a teenage boy, and he hugged his teacher. So, you know, at first you look at it and you go, well, what's wrong with that, right?
Okay, yeah.
But apparently it was more than just a hug. Apparently he's done this before to her, and she says she could feel his lips next to her neck, blah, 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 you know, and there's a video that captured it.
What?
Yeah. So I guess this guy's got some... record of suspension and things like that. So, I mean, the stuff the teachers have to deal with these days, you know, it's just amazing. Yeah. There's no boundaries for these students,
That's tough.
And the stuff that they do and that. So, so he goes on TV and everything.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, you know, it's like, so, you know, people are protesting this and everything, but the question is, you know, you don't do these things, you know, especially when you're a teenager. At first, I thought, well, maybe it's like a 12-year-old or something, or an 8-year-old, you know, hugging his teacher and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're 17, you don't do that.
Was she a hot teacher?
I don't know. They're not showing a picture.
Oh.
But whatever it was, I don't think there's an excuse for that.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Hugging teachers.
Yeah.
Look out.
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, I went to this dentist that I found. I went there, you know, those Groupon and stuff like that, you know, the Living Social and stuff. So I found this great deal, you know, for tooth cleaning and x-rays and stuff like that. So I went a few months ago, right?
Right.
So, okay, I got all that and everything. And I thought, okay, this doctor is like an older man. Probably has a lot of experience. I'll have him do some work on me. So we started doing a crown, right? Now, this was back in September, mind you, Mia.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to he's done three crowns already. I must have been there like eight times already, ten times. He still doesn't get it right. There's still food getting trapped in it. And I felt, shit, you know, I mean, I'm obviously being ripped off here. Mm-hmm. You know, because this guy doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Right.
I don't know how he could have been a dentist for all these years, but apparently to do a simple crown, you know. So now I decided to ask for my money back. I don't trust him to do it anymore. You know, he's like, yeah, we'll get it right, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do that. I just want my money back. Let me go somewhere else, right? So obviously that's going to be an uphill battle, but I hate to be ripped off. I hate when people do this to me. And then there's another company on the internet that just ripped me off also. So it's like I'm not used to that, you know. So it gets me very uncomfortable, you know. It's like I can't sleep at night until I, like, get my way. So we'll see what happens.
I hope it's not the same Groupon that my friend just got for a dentist because she was like, oh, I found this great, you know, Groupon thing for a dentist. She's going today to get a cleaning and stuff. And she's like, yeah.
Well, I'm sure not everybody's like
that. I hope it's not the same one. I know. I need to get into a dentist out here. I used to just always do it when I would go home, but I'm like,
yeah.
I need to get one here.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, just be careful with these Groupon things, man. You never know who's behind it, you know.
Good call.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, Mia, you invited a fascinating guest, I think, to the show. He seems fascinating. Why don't you go ahead and introduce him to us?
I did. Okay. Today in the studio, we have my good friend, Mike O'Hearn.
What's up, guys?
Welcome to the show, Mike. I wasn't sure if you guys knew each other before because sometimes she invites people just based on PR and stuff. So you guys have known each other for a while?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like 5 years, maybe 4 or 5 years.
I would say so.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
but you only lived here three, right? So yeah, you knew each other before that?
Yes. Actually, what's funny is that the first time, the first time I ever saw like a picture of him, I had heard about him like a bunch through my ex. He was a bodybuilder, and you know, and he always looked up to Michael Hearn. So I would always hear his name.
Right.
And then when I was in college, and I was taking a nutrition class, and in our textbooks, I'm flipping through, and there's this picture of Michael Hearn, and they were talking about the BMI, like the body mass index.
Right.
And and there's this photo of him. I'm like, wait, I've heard of this guy. I know him. And we were like Facebook friends, and we just, you know, we had a lot of mutual friends in common. So
I see.
It was just so funny.
Was this like in Chicago or something, or just over the internet?
No, out here. I mean, I used to come out here to visit a lot because the guy that I was dating, he lived out here.
Okay.
So I was coming out here to visit. So
I didn't know that part of the story. Okay.
Now you got the whole story.
Yeah, now I got the whole story. So Michael Hearn, for those who don't know, is a very muscular man, a man's man, actually. You know, I feel like a little girl next to you. But apparently you've been doing this. To be honest, I've never heard of you, but I'm not involved in the bodybuilding world and stuff like that. So, but you're also an actor and a model and everything, so you've got a full life.
Yeah, it's pretty busy. Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah. At what point in your life did you decide, I'm going to like develop my body to the point where, you know, there's probably no fat on you at all?
It started early. I come from a family of 10.
Oh,
and so my dad was a football player and a bodybuilder, and my mom was a martial artist. So
really?
Yeah, and our whole family trained, and I was the youngest boy. So right from the start, you know, I was 10, 11 years old, and I was already starting to work out.
Really?
Kind of by 13, I was competing, and 14, I won my first bodybuilding show.
Really?
Yeah.
So now, at that young age, you can already have a definition for your body and stuff?
Yeah. Really? At 14, I was already 176 pounds of rock muscle.
Wow.
And I beat 20 19-year-olds in my first teenage show.
Really?
So I kind of said, okay, I kind of like this.
Yeah.
So yeah, it just it started there, and it just kept going. And
so you guys are like 10 kids. Huh?
Yeah, support of the family. Yeah.
Now, how does that? Where were you born? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Kirkland, Washington.
Oh, I see.
And I'm the youngest of 10, and they all competed. I mean, it was like the whole family was just athletes. My sister won Miss Seattle. My other sister won the North American. They powerlifted, bodybuilding, martial arts. You know, so it's like one of those things as a kid, you know, I'm getting my ass kicked, not just from my older brothers, but my older sisters.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I got to start training, man.
That's true, huh?
Yeah, you can't have your sisters beating you up too, so.
That's true, yeah. And I guess you live in a home where it's like, it's a normal thing to, you know, to develop your muscles and everything. So you figure, you know, it's not, you know, abnormal for me. It's not unusual. That's just what I'm going to do.
Yeah, that's what we do as kids. You know, we were instant into sports. You know, wrestling at such a small, young age, 6, 7 years old, and
really?
Playing sports and football. And yeah, it was just right from the get-go.
Yeah.
I was bred.
Sounds good. So were you like already focused on your health as well, or were you focused more on just working out and developing your body?
It was... when you say body, it was more of the whole aspect of it, because my idols at that time were like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Bruce Lee.
Mm.
So it was, I was competing in martial arts, and so it was the whole aspect of it. I just wanted to be, it was more, I didn't want to be a bodybuilder, I wanted to be a superhero.
Right.
You know, you're 11, 12 years old, you go, you know, that's what I want to be. I want to be the best martial artist, football player, bodybuilder there is.
Yeah.
And so that was my game plan.
I see. Okay. And do you consider yourself a superhero now?
Well,
I mean, we'll put a cape on you.
I don't say it, but the industry calls me the real life superhero.
Really?
Yeah,
well,
they call
that's
me Superman.
Amazing.
So
yeah.
It's flattering. It's nice. It's
It shows your work has paid off, you know? I mean, you get recognized for it.
You walk into a room and they're like, dude, you're not, what are you? You're a superhero. It's like, yeah, I'll take that. It's nice.
So I imagine you enjoyed the attention at an early age as well, right? I mean, you obviously get a lot of attention at 12, 13, 14-year-old, developing his body, competing and everything.
No, I didn't hug a teacher at that age and
you didn't
get kicked out
teachers.
Of school, if that's where you're going with this.
Good. No, that's not what I meant.
She said it was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, it got a lot of attention, but
yeah.
It was... I didn't do it for the attention. I did it for myself.
Right.
Because I was one of those kids that grew up with such a large family. So we had great parents, but, you know, the studies didn't do as well.
I see.
So I was one of those kids that grew up with dyslexia, and I didn't know what it was at the time. So, you know, I just focused solely on the sport aspect of it.
Right. So. And that's cool. So, and it's not a bad thing to be, you know, into health and everything, even when people are, like, obsessed about it and stuff, you know. And, like, my son right now, it's like he's totally obsessed with eating right, doing his CrossFit and everything. Mm-hmm. But, so, you know, I mean, from the outside, it looks like they're, like, obsessed with it. But I guess once you get into it, it's hard to stop, huh?
Yeah, you get, you know, every day your endorphins are released in such a beautiful way, and you're hyped up, and you're still moving and grooving. And the one key thing about life is you got to make sure that you're healthy, because nothing else that matters.
Right.
You know, you could be the richest guy in the grave, but, you know, it's when you got your health, you got everything.
That's true.
And that's it's true. One that's, you know, like I always say to people that I train or work with is, it's that 1 hour that you got to take for yourself.
Right.
To do your exercise and eat right. It's just, it's longevity. It's a better life.
That's true. Yeah.
And I know a portion, it's one of those things that where everybody goes, at first they'll, you know, put you down and go, oh, you're so addicted to this stuff. And then later on, they're going to ask you how you did it.
Right.
Yeah. Because like your son right now, how old is he?
He's 20.
See, that's great.
Right.
You know, he's into the CrossFit. He's eating right. That's a beautiful thing. It's better than out partying all night and drinking.
He does that too. No,
he's balanced, huh?
Yeah. But no, I mean, it has done so much for his self-confidence and esteem and stuff, you know.
Yep.
And he feels good. And I know the feeling, you know, I used to work out too. And I enjoy the feeling. It's just, it's so hard to get back into it. Do you have some advice for people that are like totally like adverse to going to the gym and stuff? I mean, what's a good way? I know somebody told me if you have like a workout partner, that helps.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways. I mean, it's one of those things with anything. Until you're disgusted with yourself, you're not going to change. Mm. And if you're just going, hey, you know what? I don't know. I don't, you know, that 5 pounds that I have on or the 10 pounds extra weight, it doesn't bug me.
Right.
Until that stuff bugs you, a person's not going to be really motivated to go.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. But if you look at it a different way, everything, like I said earlier, it's everything moves better when you're healthy.
Right.
You're not wasting so much time with like the meal prep and how your son eats right.
Right.
People go, oh, that takes so much time. It takes less time.
Right.
Because as soon as your meals are prepped for the day, boom, you're done.
That's true.
Relative to the guy going, hey, where are we going for dinner? And then you're out for dinner for 2 hours.
Right. Or you just rush through lunch and you get some fast food or something like that. Yeah.
It really comes down to it. And the motivation for me comes down to something different because it's my lifestyle.
Right.
And it's how I make a living. I travel around the United States and around the world doing seminars or breaking records. And I tell everybody, it's you got to find that goal inside of you, whatever it is, that's something so deep. And that will motivate you every morning. You won't need a training partner, which is great to have.
Right.
So that's another aspect you can do to it. But you still need that something that motivates you.
Right, like the drive, right?
Yeah.
And, especially when you're not happy with your weight and, you know, he wasn't scoring with the girls and everything. So he had a lot of pressure.
That could definitely get you in shape,
right? That would get you, huh?
They say that's the first thing you got to do, like, it's one of those things. When a buddy of mine goes through a breakup or something, I say, dude, the first thing you got to do is get back in the gym, start taking care of yourself, you know, get a haircut, get in the gym, get healthy, make yourself feel good about yourself, and then the women will come.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So you went through high school doing probably the same thing, right? I mean, did you, so you started competing in competition?
I started competing at 14, powerlifting and bodybuilding. By the time I was 16, I was already winning everything.
Wow.
By 17 and 18, I was not competing against the teenagers as much, but against the men.
I see.
And
so
by 19,
adults,
it was just one of those things I kept pushing myself. And it, one of those things is I'm a lifetime drug-free guy, and I never believed in steroids.
Right.
I saw other people do them because I was in the gym so early. Mm. So one of the things that I did is and everybody has that kind of the haters or the people that say you can't do something.
Right.
I love that.
Do
I
you?
I need that. Yeah, I kind of, you know, I'll put posts up on Facebook and you'll get just people going off because it just irritates them. But again, it fuels me because it's like, it makes me think, wow, I think so different. the 99% of society.
That's true.
And by 19, I already took second in the powerlifting against the men.
Wow.
And I was still a teenager.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
How much were you lifting at that time?
I did an 815 squat, uh-huh. a 500 bench, and a 730 deadlift.
Wow.
So I was a freak at that stage. And being that strong, uh-huh. there was no reason for me to do steroids.
Right.
Because at that point, I was already a black belt in martial arts. Mm. I was already that strong. I was already winning things. And the aspect of the physique was slower. I was muscular. I was doing well, but I wasn't beating the men or the kids on steroids.
I see.
But I was getting exposure.
Right.
Incredible mm-hmm. exposure because they just kept using me to model. And they go, no, don't change your physique.
Right.
Because 99% of the people out there like your physique relative to the guys that look massive.
Right.
And I know you're looking at me going, you're massive.
Right.
I'm a 6'3", 270-pound guy. But when you see the guys that are winning the Mr. Olympia or something like that, you'll right. see that they're much, much more bigger and rounder than I am.
Right,
but,
yeah.
But society is okay with this.
Right. Now, if you keep doing this all the time, won't you get to that point like they are? Or, I mean, how is it that you stay within a certain size and you don't get to be
as I don't choose to be that size.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like how I am right now, and I like right. What works for me.
Right.
Again, I'm an athlete first and foremost, because when I first got out here, I booked American Gladiators. So I was Thor on the original American Gladiators for the last portion of that show. Uh-huh. And then I did another show, Battledome, where we beat the out of guys.
Battledome, that yeah, sounds just, pretty helpful.
Brutal. Yeah. And then we started up the American Gladiators again. So I was Titan, team captain over there.
Oh, wow.
And so it's one of those things is I'm an athlete first and foremost.
Right.
And I like to be able to move and do my thing.
Right. So and you don't want to look freakish like some of these guys do.
I don't know if I don't want to look freakish. I don't want to be able to pull back from what I need to do athletic-wise. Because right. I can still do the splits. I can still do that stuff. I can still slam a basketball. Wow. So it's just those key points of athletics.
Right.
You know, I don't need to be 300 pounds like a strong man.
Right.
That works for me.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
So wow, this is interesting. So you finished college and, I mean, not college, high school.
Yeah.
High school. And what did you do at that point?
At that point, I was still competing. I was still doing everything. And then I wanted to make a decision. And it wasn't much longer after that I was competing. And then I went to the show called the Mr. Olympia.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, and Mr. Joe Weider.
That's where Arnold
Schwarzenegger won seven
ago,
times.
Right,
right. Yeah. right. Yeah.
So go on.
So I flew out to the Mr. Olympia. And
where is that, in Europe?
This one was in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
Chi-town, hey. Baby. Chi-town.
You know.
So, I went out there, and as I was walking through the audience, Joe Weider walked up to me himself. And says, son, who are you? And I go, I'm Mike O'Hearn. And he goes, I need you in my magazine.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, that did not just happen.
Yeah.
And it wasn't more than 3 weeks later, because I flew back to Washington. 3 weeks later, I get a phone call. Boom, this is what we're doing. We're flying you to Cabo San Lucas. You're going to do a photo shoot, this, that, and the other thing. So fly down to Cabo, do a photo shoot for a week with like 10 beautiful girls.
Wow.
Yeah, life sucks, right?
You realize
just
that?
Me and one other model guy and then 10 girls.
He's like, I've arrived.
Yeah, wow. Fly back to Seattle after that. And I'm, 2 months later, Muscle and Fitness comes out, the magazine.
Right.
And it's just my face on it.
Yeah.
And to get a cover shot and a story about you at that age. And something like Muscle and Fitness, which is a physique magazine, but they're just sticking my face on there.
Really?
It was like, what's going on?
So, yeah, just the face without the body?
Yeah, it was just the face. Now, that was the first month. They followed it up right after that, the second month, with a cover shot of me and five girls.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
And I'm like, wow, and I'm getting this money for it, and I'm doing, wow, this is my lifestyle.
Yeah, I could get used to that.
Yeah, and so Joe Weider, he called me up and says, son, we want to use you a lot, so let's get you down to L.A.
Wow.
So it was one of those you know, discovery kind of things. And I'm discovered by the man that discovered Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's
so
true, huh?
Yeah, it wasn't much later than that. I packed up, said goodbye to mom and dad, and they said, go get them. And I moved to California.
Awesome. So you moved here because he convinced you that L.A. is the place to be?
Well, he put under contract. He put me under contract, and he said, yeah, this is where we want to use you, you know, and want you to be here. And as soon as I got here, it was... I booked a movie, Death Becomes Her, with Bruce Willis.
Yes, I remember that one.
I booked American Gladiators. Right? Yeah, Meryl Streep, Goldie Hawn.
So what were you doing?
And I got felt up by Meryl Streep.
Really?
Yeah, she walks by me and goes, look at that chest, and grabs my chest. I'm like, that's not sexual harassment. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, there you go. When it's
I
the other way.
It.
Yeah. And
that's great.
Yeah, for the fans out there, Bruce Willis is as cool as you think he is.
Really?
Yeah, he's just a guy's guy.
Wow. And that was some time ago. That was in the
80s,
right?
It was 90s.
90s.
Early 90s, yeah.
Wow. And 92. So how did you transition from... Well, so first you were a bodybuilder.
I never stopped all of it.
Right.
Never stopped.
Right.
I still did the bodybuilding. I still did the powerlifting.
Right.
As soon as I got here, I went right into competing in even bigger shows when it came to bodybuilding. I started doing the, I won the Natural USA and the Natural Mr. America and the Natural International.
Wow.
And then I won my first Natural Mr. Universe.
Wow. What's natural? What does that mean?
That means that we choose to be drug tested.
Oh, okay.
And we choose to, to be tested. And for me, yearly. So
in competitions, it's not mandatory to be tested?
No, in a lot of leagues, they don't.
Oh, wow.
They don't drug test.
I wonder why. I mean, because obviously they know people are doing this, right?
Yeah, it's not... It's one of those things that says, don't talk about it. It's not there.
Right.
And my whole concept is talk about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
you know,
there's guys out there. Because when I was a kid and I was growing up with it, I had the it was a tough thing for me because some of my brothers and sisters did the steroids. And I could see the downfall. I could see how incredible they were. But also at the same time, I could see the downfall of it.
And like what, for example?
Do you get strong? Yeah. Do you get muscles? Oh, yeah. But do you get to keep it? No.
Really?
No.
So it's temporary.
No. Yeah. And then I could see how it hits you psychologically. For anybody, like you said, it's like, how do you get back into training if it's not going to be as good as it was?
Right.
You know, can you get in shape as well today as you were when you were 20?
Right. No.
Well,
maybe.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah,
but okay. But again, your mindset says no.
Right.
And so it's like, well, then why do it? You know, if I'm never going to look as good as I was. And I could see that that's what happened to people. And I could see that they go, well, I don't lift heavy anymore because I'm not doing anything. And it's like, see, I never want that. I want to be able to, every day of every year, be as strong as I was yesterday, if not better.
Yeah.
And keep creating a physique to even be better. And that's one of the things the guys, the other pros talk to me today, and they go, what are you doing? What's going on? Why do you do... I'm that turtle.
Yeah.
You know, you were that fox that just ran. And you were incredible for a couple of years, but I'm that turtle that will just keep going.
Right.
And I'll be slow, but I'll get there.
That's true.
And
that's
it's just it's one of those things where, the pros that were around me in the 90s, you know, that aren't doing it now.
Oh, wow.
And or they don't look like this, or they don't, you know, it's, and or they don't lift heavy.
Right.
So it's just one of those things that I don't know why it is, but at 13, 14 years old, I already knew it was something I didn't want to do.
Didn't want to do it.
Which is weird because, you know, you're not that smart at 13, 14. I wasn't that smart at 13 and 14, so.
Wow. So how did you start booking, like, parts in movies and stuff? Did you hire, like, an agent and things like that?
Yeah, a lot of the stuff came from word of mouth at the beginning, just because things were rolling really quickly for me. Just getting in town, getting all these photo shoots and the covers, because at this stage now, I've been doing this forever, and I've had over 500 covers, fitness magazines and romance cover magazines and all of this.
Wow.
So my name's out there, so I get a lot of calls for anything athletic, built, superhero looking guys.
Yeah.
So it's nice and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But yeah,
well, it's time to be an actual superhero in the movies, you know? I mean, you know.
Yeah, we keep going. We've got close. We've been talked about for Captain America. When they first originally started talking about Captain America, it was I was written up there with Matthew McConaughey and a couple other actors. So that was nice getting my name thrown in there.
Yeah, for sure.
And for the Superman prior to this one, I was in the mix of it. So that was nice. It's getting close. Scorpion King came down to me and a couple of guys, and we just keep pushing. That's one of those things, man. It's Hollywood. You know that. It's Hollywood, yeah. And you just got to keep pushing.
Exactly.
The guy that quits never gets there.
That's true, until it finally happens, you know, and you have a lot to offer and stuff. Now, did you have to learn acting and things like that?
Yeah, I started with it was a friend of mine that told me about John Kirby, who I studied with. Jim Caviezel was one of the first guys that I met who played in Passion of the Christ.
Right, yeah, he was Jesus.
He's a great actor.
Yeah, and he's another Washington boy. Mm-hmm. But he said to me early on, he says, can you walk on stage without working out? And I'm like, no. He goes, then why do you think you can do acting if you don't study?
Wow.
And I'm like, yeah, that stayed with me forever.
That's true.
So I'd say, yeah, study. Yeah.
And how long did that take? Was it like ongoing?
Yeah, you just always stay fresh. You always go in, you always do the work.
Yeah.
That's me. It's always the homework.
Right.
The training, the studying, the dieting correctly.
Right.
It's all the homework.
Yeah. And I think for movie makers, you're like already, you know, you're like ready to go. Whereas with more famous actors and stuff, they actually have to work out and look the part, you know, and you already do, you know, so you don't have to rigorously work out in addition to what you normally do, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's cool.
That's a good part of it, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. We're ready to go.
Yeah.
Start production tomorrow.
So tell us about American Gladiators. How was that? How did that come about?
The original came about, it was incredible, because I love competition. I love just going, you know, old school gladiator, man against man. And
right.
They had a huge tryout at the Coliseum.
Uh-huh.
And this was in, I guess it was 93, 94. And about 5,000 guys showed up.
Wow.
And it was a day of battles.
Really?
And at the end of the day, it was down to me and one other guy.
Wow.
Red, who played Saber on Gladiators. And he and I got the show.
Wow.
But out of 5,000, you know, and it's nice. It's one of those things that, you know, somebody that doesn't know me, they will look at one picture and go, well, you're a bodybuilder.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
But it was nice to go through 5,000 guys that were all ball players, martial artists, and everything. And it comes down to me and one other guy.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you obviously.
Awesome.
Yeah. Then you start feeling, well, I'm special.
Well, it's one of those things. It's like, you know, it's you just, you're reassuring what you've put your work into.
Right.
You know, I don't want to get anything that I'm not suited for or don't deserve.
Yeah.
And so I like to battle. And that was getting the original Gladiators, which taught me so much. Those guys, Nitro, Dan Clark, who was on the show, I just watched these guys and learned from those guys so much from the originals that helped me later on for TV shows like Battle Dome or even the new American Gladiators. Because when they brought up the new American Gladiators, they're like, hey, what do you want to do? You want to jump on here? And I'm like, yeah, but I want to do the tryouts too. I don't want to just get the spot because I was on there before.
I see.
And
okay.
So we did
wow.
the same thing. We had a huge tryout, and it was a great thing because I went out and set all the records for all the events.
Really?
And so it's like I earned my spot in the captain position.
Yeah.
So it was nice.
Now, my question is, if you're winning records and things like that,
yeah.
you know, and titles, have you considered like the Olympics and stuff at a certain point in your life?
No, I
no.
No, there's nothing like that I'm doing right now that's in the Olympics. I don't power lift anymore.
I meant in the past, though. I mean, if you
no, I never did because it didn't do it for me. I loved doing what I was doing. Like, it was one of those things is I was offered to wrestle with Vince McMahon early on, but conflicts of contracts, I couldn't wrestle and do American Gladiators.
I see.
So I couldn't do it. And then as time went on, I could realize that there's definitely fame and fortune when it comes to wrestling.
Right.
But at the same time, those guys work so hard.
They do.
They are on the road so much.
Wow.
And I'm just, I appreciate being on the road for a certain amount of time, but not all year.
Right.
And that's something I can choose and go, yeah, I'm okay with not being successful in that sense.
Right. So, now, do you think if someone's like a professional wrestler, I don't know if professional, but the Vince McMahon type of wrestling, not the Olympic type.
Right, right. If you're going to say they're good athletes?
Well, no, not really.
Because they are. They're great athletes.
No, I know they are. But my question is, does it affect your career, like in Hollywood, if you want to be, like, does it typecast you to the point where you can't get parts in movies?
No, I think it helps you.
It helps.
Oh, yeah. I think it helps you. Mostly now it helps you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, Dwayne's one of the top five guys that's getting paid in Hollywood.
Right.
And he's killing it. Yeah. And he keeps going back to wrestling time after time.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, The Rock. He still goes back and does shows and stuff. Yeah.
Wow.
But a lot of those guys, and they also have their own production company.
I see.
So they take their own guys, you know, and put them in movies like John Cena and stuff.
I see.
So it's a benefit.
I see.
Yeah, it's definitely a benefit.
Cool. For those of us just joining us, we're talking to Michael Hearn, who is huge. You said 6'3", 270 pounds, right? And been developing his body his whole life. And I see there's even a picture of Chippendales here. Did you have a little
I modeled
there?
For him. I never danced for him.
Oh, no. You only modeled.
Huh? Only modeled. Never danced. Let's clarify that right now.
Okay. It's not something you would do, huh?
No.
Yeah.
No. I think it's not because I don't. It's not because I don't get the moves. No, they always would bring in some real models and put with the guys.
I see.
So, sells the calendar better.
Yeah.
So.
That's so funny. Yeah. I almost forgot about that.
Yeah, we could have forgot about that. Thanks, guys. Yeah.
So, you want here, I'm looking at your website, and there's some things like Iron Man, for example. Tell us a little bit about that. I see you're on the cover, and you also won a competition there.
Oh, the Iron Warrior is a strongman competition, West Coast strongman competition that I won 2 years in a row. Oh. And it's just a big time, just like strongman stuff you see on TV.
Right.
Yeah, so I did that. But the Iron Man, if you're looking at, that's just cover stories. Each month, you know, I write for and on the board of Muscle and Fitness, so I write a monthly column for these guys.
Oh, really? That's cool. So you like to write as well?
Yeah, I do lectures around the United States and overseas. Writing is where I'm doing a lot of stuff now. So so we added something to the mix.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. So
so you've created a brand of yourself, obviously, and stuff like that, like the picture of health. What are some, I mean, obviously, you know, the way you eat and everything helps a lot too, right? I mean, it goes together.
I would say it's more than 70-80% of it.
Really, is the nutrition?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, people think it's about working out.
Right.
You can't outwork a bad diet.
Wow.
Yeah, it comes down to it. This whole thing is about recovery and eating right is the best thing for health.
Yeah. I know, people would think I was crazy when I would just eat like plain grilled chicken, like by itself. Like, wait, that's all you're eating, just by itself. That's it. I'm like, yes. Like, are you out of your mind? This is disgusting. I'm like, it's food. It's, you know, it's like when you have a goal to reach, you're willing to do anything. And then it's like exciting to eat. So I'm like, oh, yeah. Then it tastes so good because you like savor it. You feel like, yes, I worked so hard. I deserve this. Right. People are looking at you like, oh, gross.
She's right. Yeah. It's the eating. Yeah. And like you were talking about earlier, your son has that down right now. So that's a key point, man.
I guess
it
is.
Get those kids going right from the start.
That's true, yeah. And I'm glad. So you do personal training too, right? Tell us a little bit about that. Do you, like, people hire you and do you...
I do online now. I developed a program called Power Bodybuilding. And it's not just a training program, but a mindset for training.
Right.
And so I work with people around the United States, actually just worldwide, and just get people in shape.
Yeah.
Pretty simple. Another fix, something I added to it.
That's true. But you don't do the one-on-one training,
I don't.
Right?
I don't.
Who
have
has time for that?
I don't have time for that. Yeah.
You're a busy man.
No. With today and, you know, with the internet the way it is and that you can just Skype and talk to the person.
Right.
I basically just work it that way now. I talk to them, write up a program for them, tell them how to train, and send them on their way.
I see. And people can do that on your website, right?
Yep.
MichaelHearn.com.
Yeah.
And, I see you have personal training and power bodybuilding and all that stuff. You have newsletters and videos.
Yeah, the newsletter is free to everybody. So that's something just anybody can sign up through my website.
Right.
And I give... basically, motivational tips, how to get motivated from everything to recipes, some good recipes. Because I know that people think when you think about dieting or nutrition, it's like, oh, it doesn't taste good. I'm a chef.
Yeah.
I make it taste good.
Wow.
So you'll get some great recipes off of that, too.
Really?
Yeah.
So you can get good flavor without, like, oil and grease and that kind of stuff.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, boy. We got some work to do with you, don't we?
I guess. I don't know. I'm just asking.
Yeah, we definitely do. We definitely do.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, that's the thing. You choose a lifestyle, you know, and then you don't know anything else.
Yeah.
You know? That's
yeah.
what you do, you know.
Yeah.
So but you were...
That's one of those things that, you know, even I, you know, I enjoy the pizza every once in a while and,
yeah.
and the bad food too. So
yeah, every once know. In a while it's okay,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, as long as you're, you know, maintaining and doing your thing,
right.
you can still have some fun food.
Wow.
So it's not, you just shut down.
Right. Now, I wanted to ask you, I always wondered about bodybuilders and stuff. As you get older, I mean, up to what age do you continue doing this rigorously?
Wow, thing, I know guys that are 80, 90 that
are you
look
serious?
Incredible.
Wow.
Yeah, it's one of those things again. Society and what they hear or what they think. The muscle turns to fat. Yeah, muscle doesn't turn to fat.
Never.
That's magic. Wow. I'm from Middle Earth. Yeah, so that kind of stuff doesn't happen. And if you stay training, you eat right, you can take this to whatever.
Wow.
You know, I know guys that you know, Robbie Robinson was a guy that was actually in the movie Pumping Iron with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay.
And now he's, you know, 76 years old. And he's, I mean, I probably still one built. Of the strongest guys at Gold's Gym Venice and still looks incredible. And
wow.
I'm not saying looks good.
Right.
I'm saying looks incredible.
Right.
You know.
Wow.
Yeah. He has a body like a football player. So,
really?
Yeah.
And so, he's 80 years old?
76.
76.
Yeah.
Wow.
But that's one of those things. It's just, it's, society's taught one thing, old school, and it's
right.
not. When you actually weightlift, what you're doing is actually creating almost a superhuman because you're building bone density.
I see.
Relative to the person that doesn't do that.
Right.
So you're actually creating a stronger base and physique than just the regular Joe.
I see.
So you can last longer and be stronger and healthier and
yeah,
hug more teachers.
Now, I imagine lifting such heavy weight that people experience injuries sometimes, right? I mean, have you experienced that? Or?
Well, I haven't been injured. And again, it's one of those simple things. It's right back to it. Does heavy weight cause injury? No.
Right.
You can get injured doing anything. You can get injured doing just Nautilus machines or
that's
anything.
True.
Yeah. Injury
so you
is just
know
injury.
What you're doing, right?
Yeah. Again, with my principle and my training is blunt force trauma. It's a science of Wolf's Law, where we're actually developing a stronger, creating a superhuman because of the continuous patterns of training heavy like I do.
Mm.
So it's one of those things. When a boxer, or like yours in my hand, if we hit something, there's a certain amount of pressure that it takes. 500 pounds of pressure is all we can basically do, and our hand will break. Where a boxer could take up to 1,000.
Wow.
Now, why is that?
The training, I guess?
There
whatever
you go.
Because
of the blunt force trauma, the continuous hitting actually developed a stronger hand.
Wow.
And that has to go with everything. So it's that whole concept that I do that in the science behind it is why I haven't been injured, but I train smarter.
Wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah. People would think, no, heavyweight, you know, causes injuries, or powerlifting or squatting and deadlifting causes injuries. No, anything causes injuries if done wrong.
Right.
But if done right, you're creating something even stronger.
Right. Then you're building up to that. It's not like you're picking up so much weight, you know, after
right.
you didn't
yeah.
do anything.
You're not going to come in the gym and lift what I lift.
Exactly.
But, you know, I know women that are 60s, 70s at powerlift and that are incredibly strong and
really?
In great shape.
Wow.
But again, it's what the small percentage of society sees.
Right.
You know, what they assume is heavyweight causes injury.
Right.
You know, just go out and walk.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're gonna sprain an ankle just going over a curb. So it's just being smarter.
Right. Now, if somebody wanted to develop a body like yours and stuff, is it important to start like at a very young age? Or, I mean, if I started now, I mean, I'm in my 50s, but if I worked out vigorously, let's say, like, you know, maybe every other day or something, I mean, do I have hope?
Yep.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's
so
one of the
happen.
Things. It's you know, I get letters from all over the United States. I keep saying that, over the world, that these guys are, you know, I'm 56 years old. I read your program. I've been doing it for a year, and I can't believe it. I'm in better shape now than I was when I was 20.
Wow.
So it's again, one of those things that it takes time.
Right.
You know, it's not the next day, but
right.
in time you will create it.
Right.
And even though you're in your 50s, you can still do it.
Yeah.
And the mindset is the biggest part that
That's
I see.
That's true. I agree with that. You know, I mean,
like we go back to where I was talking about the haters or what the people think is when I post something on the social media and I say lifetime drug free.
Right.
You know, there's a point there. I'm doing it for the kid.
Yeah.
They can see it and go, oh, okay, so this is possible.
Right.
But in the same sense, I love firing up the guys, the doubters.
Yeah.
Because that just fuels me, and I love that. And it also just shows me how different I think than other people.
That's true.
Anything is possible until you – it's like everybody doesn't think anything's possible until one person does it.
Right.
And now, boom, the four-minute mile is possible.
Right.
It's like before that, it was, no, it's a five-minute mile. So it's one of those things that, anything's possible with the physique.
Yeah.
And the mindset is key.
Yeah. And I think you're in a good position to give that kind of advice, you know, to let people know, you know, it's not just about the physical part of it, but it's the mental part of it as well. You know, and you've got to be mature, I think, mentally to be able to have that kind of discipline.
Yeah, it's one of those, it's the belief system. Wherever your ceiling is, that's it.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean by ceiling is what your belief is.
Yeah.
If you believe this is possible, then that's as far as you will go.
Right.
Or if you think you can or can't, you're right.
Wow.
And so my point is don't put a ceiling on anything. Anything is possible.
That's true.
When it comes to health, nutrition, training at any age, for anybody.
Right.
I just see too many people that are putting the doubters or the people that say it's not possible. And one of the worst thing is you get doctors that say this is not possible.
Yeah.
And education will never beat experience. Ever. You can never outbuild your experience. I mean, your education can never outdo your experience.
Right.
And that's the problem. I've done this for 30 years, and I don't know anybody that's not going to be more experienced than that. And the stuff that I've seen and or can get people to do is just a different world.
That's true.
And when I train with people and they'll say the same things, when they even just work out with me, they're already 10% stronger.
Right.
And it's just because I'm in their face and I'm talking to them and I'm getting them motivated. But I take them out of their mindset.
Right.
And put them in a different mindset.
Yeah.
Possible.
And that's good. You know, that's why you have to be a coach in more than just, you know, the physical part of it, but inspiring people as well, you know, motivating them and things like that.
Well, I think that's where this, I was inducted in the Hall of Fame for bodybuilding last year. And
nice.
I think with that and then with now writing for Muscle and Fitness and having a column there and on the advisory board for Muscle and Fitness, it's taken me and my career to something I didn't even foresee.
Yeah.
And now I'm more of a spokesperson for, you know, drug-free athletes or people that want to do it for a long term.
Right.
And I just finished up a 12-week tour, which we call the Titan Tour, where I travel around the world and just give lectures and seminars and teach people about the power of the mind
right.
and when it comes to health and fitness.
Right.
So it's amazing. Pretty cool. It's fun. It's fun. It's I'm learning new things for myself too, and it's a new career.
Right. Well, you have a very rich life, Mike, and you know, I mean, very interesting and stuff. You're very talented, and so tell people where they can find you. A little more details about the website.
Well, you can find me pretty much on anything. It's Mike O'Hearn, and I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Right.
Yeah,
and
you my got website. Like, he's got like over 250,000 on Facebook. I just looked. I'm like, wow. Yeah. So you're a celebrity in more ways than one, I guess.
Well, it's funny. You know, and the acting's fun, too. We didn't talk much about it, but I just guest starred on Workaholics and Sunny in Philadelphia a new hit show for Disney, Mighty Meds, where I play a superhero. So it's everything's rolling and having fun and
awesome.
And it's good. And
so you got a great life, and I imagine you have probably no problem with the women and stuff either. So, you know, so this is cool. All right. Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining us. Mike O'Hearn.
Thanks.
Everybody go check it out at MikeO'Hearn.com. And or you can just Google him and find him everywhere. Great physique, great inspiration. Thank you so much, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
All the best to you. Mia, thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you slow down a little bit today.
Yeah, thanks.
So you don't crash and burn.
My gosh.
What were those meds again? I want to do some cardio on those.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.
You have been listening.
listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam at latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.